Welcome, everybody, to another sparkling episode of Homer Potts Happy Hour. Different episode this week. Every other time we've done it, we've done this from Stuart's dining hall or dining room. It would be a dining hall. I mean, it is fucking massive. But this week is different. So I'm staring at a screen with Andrew in bed. Loney is in her son's bedroom. She's had to kick him out because she had a technical issue with her own computer. And we're having to do this because of a certain reason. Now, why is that, Stuart?
I don't do November in England.
Do you not?
Not anymore.
Oh, what a blow for you.
I decided to relocate to South Africa, to Cape Town, for November and February. Had a bit of April, had a bit of September. But yeah, so I'm here. I'm in the very dark. It is half past 10 in the evening, Tuesday night in South Africa. So that's where I am.
Excellent. Well, I hope you're enjoying yourself over there.
I am having a lovely time. Thank you. Apart from the fact I have to go to the dentist tomorrow, which I am not looking forward to.
Oh, do you always wait to go when you're in South Africa because it's slightly
cheaper? No, I wait to go to the dentist a long time wherever I am. I've waited about 3.5 years. And I figured that if I'm going to get the bill I'm expecting, I'd rather pay it in rand than in pounds.
I'd love it if you came out of this dentist with a whole new set of veneers. Imagine. He ends up looking like bloody, what's his name? Rylan.
I'm so scared about the dentist. I've been so scared about the dentist since I was a little boy. And aww. not as scared as you should be, though, because you've got totally different reasons to be scared of the dentist. However,
he was really nice. He liked to tickle my tummy.
Yeah, he tickled your tummy. Yeah, he wasn't a clergyman, was he? Wasn't really related to the Archbishop of Canterbury, but that's another story.
We might bring him up later.
Yes, I bet you will.
What are we going to talk about, Stuart? There's all sorts of things. I mean, we haven't seen each other for more than 2 weeks. All sorts of things have gone on in that time. I believe at least a couple of us have been more than 30 miles from their home.
Well, yes, both myself and Mrs. Wake have been to New York. A big shout out to my daughter, Lucy Jane Simmons. We're doing so well in the marathon.
Well done, Lucy.
Total superstar. Really good day. And just horrible reminder of obviously when I did it years ago, did much better than me, which is good. She's a superstar. She did so well. So a lovely weekend there and a long weekend. And then I came back, which we'll talk about in a minute. I came back on election day. And just as we missed each other, Loney went out.
Yes, I went out. I think I got there the next day after you left, didn't I?
I think so, yeah.
So election had all been done by then. And
was a wedding dress procured?
It was certainly narrowed down. Yeah, maybe.
Narrowed down. She's going to go back again, is she?
I've got to say. New York.
I know, but I think it's a strong contender. That's all I'm going to say. It was a successful shop. It really was. It was great.
You better tell your sister that we better get an invite after all the fucking stuff we've talked about.
We sat in there for 3 blissful hours while she tried on all these dresses. And then actually saw one of the stars from the show as well, one of the
from what
assistants.
Show?
Say yes to the dress. That's why we went to this one shop in New York. It's called Kleinfeld, and it's because it's on this TV show. And that's why we went.
Did it not occur to you?
Did they just ply you with wine?
No, not a glass. Fuming.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. They're not big drinkers out there, are they? Maybe they thought it was a bit coarse to be drinking.
Yeah, I don't know. It's sparkling water.
If you think of the amount of money you spent on airfares and hotel rooms and stuff, you could have stayed over here and spent an extra 3,000 quid on the buffet.
That's true.
Drinking's the only way to get through a marriage, so you may as well start at the dress shopping point.
It was really lovely. It's a great experience. And we had gorgeous weather as well, did you, Stuart?
Yeah, the weather was stunning.
Yeah, really,
really
nice.
No, it was the old sunglasses are out for virtually the whole time. Yeah, it was great. Mm.
What did you do with yourself while you were out there, other than sit in a wedding dress shop?
I did a bit of celeb spotting. We went to see Sunset Boulevard.
Oh, right. Okay.
And that was absolutely brilliant, fantastic. And I met the star of the show, Nicole Scherzinger.
Oh, did you?
Ooh. Yeah.
Did you hang it around backstage or by the back door?
Yeah, about an hour and a half.
If anyone would like to see Alona Wake's Instagram post,
it's on there.
I put it in the case of mild stalking.
Yeah. Actually, it was a fair bit of that.
Mild stalking stroke fangirling, yes. I believe is how I describe it.
And I'd been up, I think, something like 26 hours by that point. But my sister, who was an absolute star, she waited with me. My niece and her friend had given up. But yeah, I was there with the hardcore. Yeah, they'd gone. And I stood there and she came out and she was so nice. She was really friendly. She was like a frail little bird, having sung amazing. The show was really, really good. Yeah, so I did. I stalked her.
What was the show called?
Sunset Boulevard.
Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah, it was very good indeed. And then the next day, when we were walking to the wedding dress shop, I looked at this guy who was standing to my right and I thought, I know him. And I looked again and I thought, that's Hugh Stewart. Jackman.
Oh,
that's
Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman.
Yeah. On a bike.
So he was standing next to me wearing a helmet. And then as we crossed over the road, there was a row of the bikes, you know, the city bike things that you can just pick up. And he went over and I said to the girls, that's Hugh Jackman. And they were, don't be ridiculous. Why would Hugh Jackman be getting one of the city bikes, wearing a helmet, looking as rough as he looks? And I went, it's Hugh Jackman. I promise you, that's Hugh Jackman. So my sister and I walked past him, walked back, and we heard him talking, and because he was on the phone, and it was absolutely definitely him. So I approached him, and he pretty much told me to take a hike.
To rack off.
Yeah, because I went up to him and went, oh, hi, Hugh. And he went, I'm on the phone. Please leave me alone. Thanks very much. I went, okay, thanks very much. And I left him to it. But yeah, so that was my
claim. So you've crossed him off your lust list.
And it's such a shame because he was almost taking over David Beckham on my lust list. And and now, I don't know, he's gone down a bit. I was thinking about getting tickets to see him in Hyde Park, but now he's going to be very disappointed because I might not go and see him.
No,
well, it's a better effort than Katie Price or whatever. You've upped the game.
Yeah. Oh, I love a good stalk. Yeah. Yeah. Hugh Jackman's pretty good, isn't it?
Katie Price to Nicole Scherzinger to Hugh Jackman, you've gone. That's a nice little curve.
Yeah, I didn't get anywhere in the middle, so I'll work on that. But yeah, I do love a good celeb.
How many people do you think he's going to get turning up at Hyde Park to see him?
Quite a lot, I'd say.
Do you think so? I can't understand. I cannot for the life of me understand why anybody would want to spend the best part of 150 quid to go and see huge action in Hyde Park warbling away on the stage. I can't.
Does he redo like The Greatest Showman or something? Or is it just
maybe. I don't know if he's doing show tunes. I don't know. I saw him years ago in Oklahoma, years and years ago with Maureen Lipman. His voice, he was fantastic.
Of course, he was in Les Mis, the film version, wasn't he?
Yeah, but I don't think that film was very good, although Les Mis is probably my favourite musical.
Can you hear the people sing?
Stop the drum.
I love Les Mis.
Please stop.
I think it's quite difficult to sing together when you're on Zoom, actually, isn't it? Because we're not necessarily in time. We tried doing choir on Zoom during lockdown. Did you, Loney?
No, because I hadn't joined by then.
Right, yeah, we tried doing... Stop it, Stuart. We tried doing choir on Zoom.
Right.
And it was, we couldn't sing as a group. It was impossible because you're just split.
We can't sing as a group anyway.
Touch your face, you wanker. Because you're just split seconds out from each other. So it doesn't work.
It just doesn't work, darling.
I might be joining your choir, actually, Spag, because mine's folding. Got an email yesterday because our leader, the one who runs it, she's got a part in Wicked. She's going to be in Wicked. My choir's no more.
Oh, you know, it's going to fold. And then Loney will leave because it's folded. And then about 3 days later, it will secretly open up again somewhere else with one person less.
I've gone for that. We've got rid of her.
Because she's gone, the stalker. Because now I'm going to have to stalk her in Wicked now.
We couldn't get rid of her. Now she's gone again.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, you could join now, but it's a bit of a trip, isn't it? It's a bit of a trip for me, so it's a bit too far for you, really. At the moment, we're doing all Christmas stuff, of course.
Oh, yeah, I'm going tomorrow night and we'll be doing Christmas. We've got a show in Eastbourne, actually, if anybody wants to come.
Oh, when's that?
Loney's Choir.
I think it's the 6th of December, but I'll double check.
Okay, have a look. Have a look and see what it is.
How exciting.
If I've got, I mean, I'm not exactly working an awful lot these days, so if it's an excuse to come down and see Stuart and then go down and see you, even if he doesn't come with me, I could drag him down.
We've had a nice curry house in Eastbourne when we went to COMD, didn't we? So
that's very true.
Yeah. Oh, right. Okay.
We can do that. We'll see.
I'm not sure. I've got a very full calendar. You know, I'm a social.
I think you'll find I've got a very busy schedule as well. Around that time.
Have you?
What are you doing? Flying back from Cape Town or something?
I know that's a couple of days previously.
Oh right. Okay. Oh yeah. Because we're seeing each other, aren't we? In early December, anyway. We're now just talking privately about our social life. That's not going to keep everyone interested at all, is it? So what's been going on in the world, Stuart?
Well, basically, I'm going to tell you the story of Mike, the taxi driver.
Right.
Who was a quite phenomenal man I met.
Quite phenomenal.
Mike DePesto, I believe his name was. And he was a taxi driver, and he picked me up outside the hotel in Manhattan. And he drove me to JFK, bit of traffic. And obviously, like I said, I did it on, I went home on election day. So I've been watching all the stuff. I've been following the election way more closely. But I find it quite fascinating the last few months with the characters and, you know, convictions and all this sort of stuff. And he's, after watching US telly, which is hard work.
Yeah.
There's nothing objective in the slightest. From either side, they're just party political broadcasts on whichever channel you choose to pick up. And he spoke more sense in 1 hour in a yellow cab than I'd heard for months and months and months. And he basically told me, he started speaking, he was very keen to get what someone from outside of the country, what a Brit's idea of the election was, what we thought of Trump, what we thought of Harris, and all that sort of stuff. So
did he let? Going, sorry, Stuart. Did he let he was on? A, who he yeah,
no, not, not necessarily. He was a bright man. He's a college professor, now doing cabbing for a bit of extra money, but that will come into it in a second or so. And he wanted to know what we thought about it. And of course, I throw in the line of, well, it looks like it's going to be really, really close. And he said, no, it isn't. He said, it's not going to be close in the slightest. He said, he's going to absolutely romp home. And I said, oh, well, that's not what people said. And he said, I'm telling you, Stuart, because they don't call me Stuart, they call me Stuart. He said, I'm telling you, Stuart. He said, it's going to be a virtual landslide. He said, he's going to win. And I said, well, how come this is going to happen? How come they've got it all wrong? And he said, because a ton of people will not admit to actually voting for him. And he said, but America are sick of being skinned. He said, I cannot afford to live on my pension. He said, that is why I am doing cabbing 3 days a week to make up the balance to pay for my groceries, my insurances, my extra distance, this sort of stuff. And he just basically went through, bop, bop, bop. This is why he's going to romp home, even though he thinks he's a bit of a dick. He said, he will be better for the economy, and that's why I'm going to vote. That's why I voted for him this morning.
I suppose in his opinion, he's going to be better for the economy, because a lot of economists think if you stick up trade barriers, it's just going to put inflation up even more.
Yeah.
The market loved it. The market loved it.
I know the market loved it immediately.
The initial reaction was obviously. But I mean, without getting on the Piers Morgan, stick your thumb up Trump's arse sort of stuff, he absolutely romped it. He's won every demographic, everything. He's absolutely smashed it out of the ballpark and has left. And this is what I was on about, is the people who have been left red-faced. It's just huge. I mean, what did you pick up, Lainey, when you were there?
Same. There was, we were walking down Fifth Avenue and there was a whole load of cars all beeping, all the Trump flags, everybody cheering. Yeah. Same.
Because he very nearly took New York, didn't he?
Yeah.
And it's always been absolutely Democrat through and through, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah. And he won every single swing state. Oh, he may go 5-2, may go 6. He won every single one.
I know.
But it's the people that, I mean, it's a shocking night for the pollsters, who actually is always going to be so close, absolutely on a knife edge. Is what they're no, it's not. And it's also the bloody celebrities who have come out. This is what Mike was telling me. He said, there's nothing to fuck off Americans more when you can't afford to pay your grocery bills than Oprah Winfrey rocking up on stage and telling you how much better it's going to be from a billionaire. He said that just they've got it all wrong and it's just going to piss everyone off. And that does, unfortunately, I hate to say this, include Bruce.
Bruce, he really,
I tried to defend Bruce in the back of the cab. Mike DePesto was having none of it. He said, I love Bruce. He said, I said, listen, so if you want a tip, Mike, don't slag off Bruce.
He said, keep Bruce out of it.
You keep Bruce out of it now if you want a decent 20% tip.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was all the, and he's obviously all about all the celebrities and the people. I mean, obviously, I got home and turned my phone on and looked at it and thought, bloody hell, Mike was right. He's absolutely smashed it.
Mm.
And it was the people, it was the like the pundits on the television who were just left with egg on their faces. Fucking Emily Maitlis. She couldn't stand it, could she? Susanna Reid, people like that, they're like, visibly crushed to actually have to admit that he's won so comfortably.
I mean, listening to podcasts like The Rest Is Politics, they said the big problem that Democrats had was they could only give you reasons not to vote for Trump. They didn't give anybody good enough reasons to vote for them. And and you've got to want to vote for somebody, and they didn't give enough reasons to vote for them, just reasons not to vote.
Well,
and
I think the trouble is a lot of these...
Sorry, Stuart, what was that?
He said once she rocked up and said, well, I agree totally with Joe Biden. I won't be doing anything different from Biden. He said, well, she just nailed her coffin virtually there and then, because Biden is so unpopular. And like you said, they gave no alternative to either how it is actually going to be better. And she just talks. People have said she refused to go on a load of shows. She stayed away from interviews. And they reckon a massive, massive thing was she refused to go on Joe Rogan. And they said that was just such a massive error.
Yeah, it's interesting,
isn't it? He's so popular. Almost as popular as our podcast.
Yeah, I mean, leading up to elections in the UK, you see all of the leaders, don't you? They're constantly being interviewed on TV and on radio, whereas over there they just seem to do rallies, don't they? They don't actually seem to do interviews.
There's no political bite back. There's no questioning. No. There's no, you know, what do you mean by that? What do you mean? But they just say what you want. And the other thing, I don't know if you picked this up, Loney, when you were there. Back in the days when we went, when me and you went, when we were kids back in the 90s, Saturday, like the late night shows, they're just political channels now.
Yeah.
You've got Jimmy Kimmel and Jon Stewart and Mayer and all these sort of boys. When we were kids, you didn't know how Johnny Carson voted. You didn't know what Michael Parkinson's politics were. But now they're just political stations. And, of course, they all had to stand up. It was the worst day of their life. And it was like, it was bizarre. The whole thing was bizarre.
I saw something in the paper that said that college-educated people were 59% for her and non-educated, completely opposite. Was that noticeable, an intellectual divide?
Well, I think they just lumped it. They've just lumped it onto one great big thing. They're obviously like the real sort of slightly wokey sort of panelists have all said, well, we've lost this because of the uneducated white women. And you think that's a very, very large group to chunk that into.
Yeah, I think that's the problem, isn't it?
None of them have got any brains in the slightest.
Yeah, I think there are just huge. I mean, it's into the American economy. It's bizarre though. I mean, obviously, they've got such a split population with who's got money and who hasn't got money. Because if you look at their stock market, the Dow Jones and the NASDAQ have doubled under the last government. Now, if they'd have doubled, if the Financial Times 100 share index had doubled under the last government, they'd have absolutely got in again, because even though we live in a country where the money isn't distributed, you know, completely evenly, it would still help out the economy as a whole.
Yeah.
But you can't work out who it is. Well, I mean, you do know it is an America who's reaped the benefits from their stock market doubling in those 4 years, and it's obviously the people with a lot of money. And there's probably 200 million people that live all over Hicksville, USA, who have got absolutely nothing and are really struggling.
And their bills and their growth, it's all gone up. And they're struggling to the cost of living.
Yeah, and they'll just, you know, he's obviously just given them hope. I mean, I suspect it will turn out to be a load of old bollocks, but he has given them a huge amount of hope, hasn't he?
I'm feeling that the Elon Musk, Donald Trump loving might not last 4 or 5 years.
I doubt it.
Something may go crushingly wrong along the way. But it was a very interesting day. It was a very interesting time leading up to it. And, I was glad I was there. I was glad I was there to sample a little bit of it. Like Loney says, you know, going down Fifth Avenue outside this building, isn't it? It's unbelievable. It's like all the people banging on at each other and all this sort of stuff.
So it's a strange old country. That Loney, when you lived out there, were you able to vote? You didn't take out citizenship, did you?
We did. We have got citizenship, but that we left. So no, I don't know. I don't think we ever did vote.
I mean, it just looks, you think about it, when you want to go and vote over here, you just wander out your house, don't you? Whenever you want to vote, and you sort of either walk 10, 15 minutes to your polling station or just drive to it. And then you wander in, you queue up behind a couple of people, and then you do your vote and then you push off. Mm-hmm. Over there, it's like a queue to get in to see Bruce Springsteen at Hyde Park. I mean, have they got absolutely nowhere to vote or something like that? What's going on?
I don't know.
On?
I don't even know where they do the voting.
I think they still do.
They all got a load of stickers because everybody was like, here's my sticker. I voted.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there are loads of people with stickers. Yeah.
I think they still vote in sports halls and community centres and stuff like that. But I just don't think there's anywhere near as many of them as we have over here. And doesn't it seem strange as well that I know in the UK you'll get, you know, you'll get constituencies like Sunderland who want to be the first and they rush to get their count done. But basically, by the next day, it's all done, isn't it? Over there, they're still like 4 days later, Arizona still hasn't come up with the count. What are they doing?
Yeah, why is that?
Why are they allowed to just take as long as they like?
I mean, it's probably not as scrutinized as it was last time, but, you know, it's, you're thinking, if it had been really close, would it still be waiting? And then, of course, all the stuff about the conspiracy, because that's gone quiet because he's won so easily. So there's no conspiracy crap this time. Surprise, surprise. Mike, the taxi driver, did think he was talking utter shit about stop the steal and all that. So he said, no, he's conned the country. So he's conned the country. He's got away with it.
Yeah, he's pretty sure this one hasn't been stolen, hasn't he?
Doesn't need this one. But no, funny time. I was glad I was there.
We'll see what happens. There's a lot of very worrying policies he wants to do. I mean, this idea that he wants to basically go round and round everybody up who he's got grievance with and put them in prison, doesn't he? I mean, it's just unbelievable. The man needs is just unbelievable. We'll see what happens. Hopefully he's got enough people that he'll listen to around him and he won't just do completely madcap things, but who knows?
Madcap.
Yeah, who knows? Right, well, we are going to have a bit of a break in a minute because we're going to have a bit of a think about what we're going to do next, and Ainey's going to have a wee, and we'll be back in just a mo. And we're back. That was a lovely break. I had a right nice wee then, so that was all good. And of course, we've been chatting away during the break, haven't we, about things we're not allowed to talk about on air. So, you know, there you go. So, Stuart, what are we going to talk about? I think we should talk about a certain Match of the Day presenter who is going to be leaving the BBC.
Overpaid gobshite. Why do we want to talk about him?
Exactly. Who cares? Yeah.
Who cares?
Well, controversial. I'm going to make the count 3-1. I'm not a massive fan of Lineker.
You see, I'm not a huge fan of Lineker, but I think he gets too much of a slagging, if I'm honest. I think he's a very good presenter, and I think that trying to replace him with somebody whose chemistry is as good with the other guys is going to be very difficult. And, of course, the internet's exploded because people put out false memes and things saying so-and-so's the favourite to get it. So-and-so is usually a woman, possibly a woman of colour. And, of course, all the gammons just explode all over the internet about the very idea that, because they all hate Gary Lineker, because they hate the BBC anyway, and the BBC are paying...
It's not going to be Fatima Whitbread, is it?
No, it won't be. The BBC are paying him something like 1.3 million quid a year to present the programme. I think the most important thing that they do is that they get somebody who's good at presenting the programme and who really wants to present the programme so they don't have to pay stupid amounts of money. I can never get my head around why, if somebody really, really wants to present something and they're really good, why you then completely go over the top of the amount of money you pay them.
I would just think that in all the years I've been watching it, it's obviously clearly one of my favourite programmes of all time. I think it's one of the programmes that would be least necessary to have a brilliant presenter, because I just want to watch the football.
Yeah.
I want to watch the football. I'd much rather it had better pundits, the pundits' advice in between games, and then someone just to set up the next match, etc. So I think paying him that amount of money is, like you said, it's crazy, because
yeah,
you just want to watch the football. And on the very rare occasion that West Ham United do actually win on a Saturday or whatever it is, I just think, oh, love it, match the day tonight.
Yeah.
I don't give it. I won't ever be thinking, well, I might not be watching because I don't know if I miss Gary Lineker. It wouldn't make a slight difference to me at all.
If someone's
just like a nice placed in because it looks good and it ticks a few boxes, then that's going to be crap. But there's plenty of good, you know, Mark Chapman,
I think Mark Chapman and Gabby Logan will both be good. Mark Chapman's very good, yes, isn't he? I like Match of the Day too, just as much as Match of the Day, really.
Exactly, and I just watch it. But
why is he going? Why is he leaving?
Well, strangely, I mean,
because he's paid too much.
Yeah, it's because he doesn't work for the BBC. And he sort of, I think he's paid through his own production company.
Yeah.
So he has contracts, and his contract gets renewed every number of years.
Yeah, which is their chance to get rid of him.
And he said they've been in talks and the BBC have decided not to keep him on.
Oh.
Maybe they've seen a way.
There's a big furore. Apparently, if you have a standard BBC contract, it is very, very clear what you are and are not allowed to say about world events. But because he's a contractor, he's asked to obviously voice his opinion on political events, which pisses people at the BBC right off. I know Jonathan Agnew at Test Match Special had a right go at him, didn't he? He said, no, you just got to keep quiet on these things and keep your political opinions to yourself. And, I mean, this will give him the platform to, you know, like Stoko says, you know, be a gobshite again and mouth off from anyone who wants to listen. But for me, yeah, storm in a teacup.
Of course, Jonathan Agnew stood down from his position, isn't he?
Yeah. He's still doing Test Match Special.
Yeah, he's still going to do TMS, isn't he? I mean, he's by far and away the best commentator, isn't he? Sometimes, especially when the action, you know, sort of mid-afternoon on a fairly flat wicket's getting a bit drab, stick him and Tuffers in the box together and they just keep you entertained, don't they? I mean, he's just genuinely, he's just a bit like Ilona.
I was going to say, this conversation is not helping my jet lag at all.
He doesn't know. No, you mustn't. You mustn't publicly complain about what we talk about.
Because,
yeah. Because what you've got to do is you've got to join in and be professional.
Have I?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
play the party line, Lonely. Test match special.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No, we're not actually discussing cricket. We're talking about presenters.
Oh, well, that's presenters. Okay then.
Yeah,
just on the same way that we don't particularly have that much interest in the Real Housewives, if we're honest.
No.
However, because we take an interest because you make it so enlightening.
Yeah.
There you see.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I make it enlightening.
You make it enlightening. We make it fucking dull.
Yeah. So
and on that subject, we're going on to one of your favourite subjects around this time of year, Lonely. I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Ah, yes. They've released the names, haven't they? Now, I was all excited about, I thought Ally McCoist was going to be on it, but he's not, is he?
Is he not?
No, he's not on my list. I've just written
down. I'd heard all these things about he was going to be on it, and then he wasn't. So I was disappointed about that.
I know it's commercial television, and I know they have more of a right to dish out what they want for not the public purse. But what the fuck are they paying Colleen Rooney for?
What are they? Is it a million? Isn't it £1 million they're paying her or something?
The funniest thing is whoever came up with Colleen Rooney said, listen, £1 million or whatever we're paying her is way, way, way too expensive. But we're going to recoup that in a couple of nights with Rebecca Vardy phoning the lights. she's going to be in the old 10p machines, chucking the old machines in. Get her in. Colleen.
Oh, my goodness. And who else is on the list then?
So basically, I have a list of 10 people. Now, you've got to, this is our mini quiz, because apparently I'm not doing the quiz today.
Okay.
There's a mini quiz. We've got to see if we actually know who they are, because there were three or four that I did have. Scooby-Doo.
Okay.
Who they were. So we've obviously got the big fish this year. It's Colleen Rooney.
Right.
Talisa.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't she a judge? Yes.
She was a
she
judge.
Was she in was in the Blazing Squad, was she?
I think
or it something
might
like that.
Something like that.
That's impressive.
And yeah, I know. And wait, she very famously ended up, some ex boyfriend ended up putting a porn video of the pair of them out, didn't he, or something?
Oh.
That could really be for it. That's a note to all of us.
Yeah.
Be careful what we stick out online.
Yeah. I.e., this podcast.
Absolutely. Don't mix up here what you're sending. That could go all horribly wrong. Oti Mabuse.
Oh, she's the dancer.
Yeah,
she's a dancer.
Yeah,
she's not Strictly.
Is she the judge or the dancer?
Dancer.
Oti's the dancer, isn't she? That's it.
Yeah.
We should know all this. And Andrew, you'll know this one. Andrew looks like he's falling asleep.
I'm falling asleep.
Barry McGuigan.
Oh, he's a good one. I'd pay him a million.
The clone is Cyclone.
He was a good boxer.
Barry McGuigan. I'd be interested to see how he gets on. Not that I actually ever watch it. Danny Jones.
Oh, yeah, he's in McFly.
He is in McFly.
Is he the other judge on The Voice?
He might win it, I reckon. Because
I think people might like him.
He's a nice bloke, and boy band members always get all the girls.
Yeah.
And the girls like I'm a Celebrity, don't they?
Yes.
Well, I'm generalising, but I think a lot of girls like it.
Because you never do that, ever.
Much.
Never. I've got to see if I'm going to... Melvin O'Doone.
Melvin O'Doone. Now the name rings
O'Doone,
a bell.
O'Doone.
No, never heard of him.
No.
Do you know him?
No.
He is a DJ and TV presenter.
Melvin O'Doone.
Never heard of him.
Alan Housel. Is he in Coronation Street?
Housel.
Never heard of him.
Is he in Coronation Street?
He's in Corrie. Congratulations, Alona. He's
Thank
an
you.
Actor. He's in Corrie.
Yeah. Who does he play? Have we heard of his character?
Never done Corrie.
Oh, I used to love Corrie. What's his character? Oh, I can see him, but I can't think.
Doesn't matter.
He's the little chubby bloke, isn't he? Yeah. Jane Moore.
She's on
On Loose Women.
Yeah. She keeps trying to tell everyone she's a journalist, but basically she's on Loose Women.
I think she was in the day.
She wrote for The Sun for decades, didn't she? Yeah.
Yeah,
she was a journo.
I think she's just spoke for my husband as well.
She has. All right up. G.K. Barry. That doesn't mean goalkeeper Barry. That means G.K. Barry.
I confused myself.
G.K. Barry, never heard of him.
No.
Or is it her?
Because it's actually a lady.
Oh, is it?
She's a TikTok star.
Oh,
G.K. Barry's a TikTok star. And the last one, who I knew about as much as I did about goalkeeper Barry, was Dean McCulloch. Radio 1 DJ. They always have someone in it.
Is he? I've never heard of him.
Leave him in the jungle. That's my vote. Leave them all there.
Leave the jungle with a fucking great python.
Yeah,
I don't think you get so, pythons.
Well, it's not really
Australia.
Exciting, is it? It's not really
exciting. I don't watch it anyway, but are we hoping that Colleen's? She's just not going to spill anything,
is
she?
She can't. I bet her lawyers are all over her saying, "Do not."
Rebecca Vardy's lawyers will be all over it. So that'll be the next episode of the bloody Wankers and Christie or whatever. Yeah. I reckon she'll talk about Rebecca Vardy. She will say nothing. She has to. I'm not being funny. Yeah. I mean, all these people, they're this, they're that. What is Colleen Rooney?
No,
she's
exactly.
Wayne's wife, isn't she?
She's a wag.
Yeah.
That's
it.
She's a wag. You know.
True.
And, you know, what stories, you know, she's got one currency. Stories about Wayne, stories about Rebecca Vardy. I can't imagine she's going to start dishing out on all the bloody, you know, all the footballers' wives and all this sort of stuff back in the World Cup, or whether she like Victoria Beckham or not, and all this sort of, you know. She's certainly not going to talk about Wayne shagging and all these numerous run-ins. She's just not going to
talk grannies.
Grannies.
And maybe she'll talk about his hair transplant.
Doubtful.
I would definitely like to ask about that.
I might actually get him on my list of dinner parties. I'll get Rebecca Vardy and Colleen Rooney in the same room.
They were both there.
Just let them go. Just go, girls. Just go. So that would be there. So that's the television. Have we been watching anything particularly excellent?
I've just been catching up on Captain Scarlet. That's all.
Oh, dear.
That's not a bad thing, Andrew.
I watched The Pigeon Tunnel, and I thought it was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant documentary.
Is it about Walter Pigeon?
No, it's not about Walter Pigeon. It's about John, and don't say carrier pigeon, John Le Carrier.
That's too good to miss there. Go on, let's get it in.
So is it,
I thought it was brilliant.
Is it a drama or is it a documentary?
It's just a documentary about his life, his books, his work as a spy, his attitude to the Cold War era. But I just thought it was brilliant, very insightful.
Okay.
Well worth a watch.
The one that I will probably watch this week, and Mrs. Simmons has told me to watch, is the one on Roger Federer.
Oh, I've seen that.
Was it the last 12 days of his career?
Yes, I watched that. That was good. Sad.
Yeah.
He comes across, he's so nice. Yeah, it was too.
You just can't not like him, can you?
You can't. No.
No, you just can't. All those four superstars, I mean, people say what they like about Djokovic, but Djokovic apparently comes across as a really nice bloke.
Yeah. He does. It's a good documentary, actually. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
He speaks about six languages, doesn't he, Novak Djokovic?
It's sickening, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's just like...
Yeah, it's unbelievable, isn't it, to speak that many languages?
Yeah.
I know.
And that's makes him very popular when he goes to places like the French Open and does his bit in French afterwards, and then he'll be out in Hanover talking in German.
Just like that.
Bonjour, monsieur.
Bonjour, monsieur. Je m'appelle Novak.
Andrew, are we keeping you up? You're starting to get closer and closer to that bloody pillow on that bed.
With your pajamas on.
It's getting late. If it gets past 9, I'm in my bed.
Honestly, it's pathetic.
So how are we doing second break-wise?
Okay, so we're going to go for a second break in a sec, and then I'm going to set up this week's very exciting quiz. And, Stuart, what are you trying to signal there?
Well, I'm saying, are we going to do the quiz before the break, then answers, or are we just going to do it all?
No, we're going to do the quiz after the break, and then we'll go straight into the answers afterwards.
Ooh, so have you watched anything, Adrian? You haven't mentioned anything.
I just spend my whole time watching either Captain Scarlet, Thunderbirds is once a week as well now, which is very good, and then just quizzes to keep my quizzing brain going. So I like things like Only Connect and University Challenge and stuff like that.
Did anybody watch Rivals?
No, can't get it.
Think, Stuart?
I thought it was utter shit.
Don't say that.
It was so unbelievably bad. I watched the whole series.
I
really enjoyed it.
I did. It was so, I think it was so bad. It was quite watchable.
That's what I mean. Yes.
But I will say something. There is no way the bloke in it is anywhere near handsome enough to be Rupert Campbell Black.
Well, I don't know about that.
He's not a good looking bloke.
Something
now,
about
Rupert
him,
Rupert Campbell Black is meant to be, it's a bit like the bloke out of 50 Shades, isn't it? His old Christian Grey or whatever his name is. He's meant to be so unbelievably handsome and charming.
But he came across that character.
What state of marriage or life you're in, you're just going to have him, because he's that gorgeous and you can't turn the chance of shagging him down. And he's just not that good looking.
But it's all about his charm and about his character.
No, but it doesn't matter if you're charming like that. He's a bit of a munter. He's not good looking. I mean, if you'd have got like, and it'll be funny, like a young Roger Moore or someone like that, you think, yeah, you can understand it. He's so fucking good looking. You can't blame the women for just dropping everything at the drop of a hat.
Oh,
sort of
please.
Thing. But that's what it's all about, isn't it? That's what it's all about. And he's nowhere near.
You mean like,
Jack
off on the buses?
Good.
Exactly. Exactly. I did watch the whole thing.
Do you think one of the reasons it's so popular is because people are just desperate to see these famous actors in the nud?
No, because you don't really.
There's quite a bit of prestige.
I thought David Tennant was brilliant.
Suddenly woke up. There is. I mean, you get to see Emily ATAC, ATAC. You get to see, yeah, it's quite a bit. I mean, some of it's quite near to the knuckle, isn't it?
It is a bit.
It is. The last episode where fucking old, what's his name? Old Danny Dwyer. Danny Dyer gets
it. Yeah, he's good in it.
Loved up. He's very good in it, actually. Yeah. I'll have to say that. He's very good in it.
I think it's definitely worth a watch.
It's utter shit, but yeah, basically, I can see why people have watched it.
Now, I know what we shouldn't really be giving publicity to other podcasts, but Danny Dyer has just done Off Menu with James Acaster and Ed Gamble, and it is by far and away the funniest podcast I've ever listened to in my life.
Really?
You have got
to listen to it. It is so funny. He is just hilarious, Danny Dyer. So
Off Menu, it's called,
Off
is
Menu,
it?
Yeah.
Off
you've got menu. To have a listen to it. It's really good. Really good.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think anybody would be jumping from ours to that one. I suspect the people who listen
you
to
you can do both.
Listen to Off Menu anyway, but yeah, it's definitely both. Worth listening to.
We
yeah.
know, we're not exclusive.
No, no. So anyway, so I...
We're just grateful if you want to listen to us.
So I haven't seen... what's that thing called again? Rivals?
Rivals.
No, I haven't seen it. I'm sure I might bump into it one day in the future, but...
Spag, I'm giving you the choice.
I'll do without it.
Captain Scarlet, Thunderbirds, Rivals. It's not a choice.
Thunderbirds,
it's not a
one.
Choice. It's yeah. not a choice. Right. Captain Scarlet, number two, Rivals, number
yeah.
three.
Yeah. No, it's very good.
Because the acting is as fucking plastic. Just as plastic.
Oh,
as,
load
as
horrifying.
As some production.
Yeah, you go and watch some puppets or...
you watch a really ugly front man.
Watch yeah. really
Scott
good
Tracy,
actors.
Way better looking.
Right, we're going off for a break now. This is getting silly. See you in a bit. Okay, we're back. We're going to do a quiz now. We couldn't decide which quiz we're going to do, but we decided we're going to do Stuart's quiz all the way from Cape Town, South Africa. Stuart, over to you, son.
Lovely. Right. It's a quiz. Thanks to the lovely Bill Greenhead, who suggested this one, and I've been able to play along with it. And just get your pens and papers ready, listeners. And you've got 20 movie taglines.
Right.
Very famous movie taglines, some more famous than others. So here we go. We're going to go straight in, eyes down for Full House. Number one, the longer you wait, the harder it gets.
Oh, what?
Bit smutty there. The longer you wait, the harder it gets. Number two, in space, no one hears you scream.
Oh, yes.
Number three, Houston, we have a problem.
Uh-huh.
Number four, think about the question. Is what's in the question here? This is what my dad always used to say to me about exams. It's not the obvious one. Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water.
Is that number three?
That is number four.
I've forgotten what three was.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Houston, we have a problem.
Oh, yeah, Houston.
Number five. You'll love this one, Spag. Not that I'm giving this away.
Good.
Part man, part machine, or cop.
Such a great film. I like it!
I was hoping you were going to say that, and he didn't let us down. Number six. Check in, relax, take a shower. Number seven, possibly the easiest one in the whole quiz. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Easy peasy.
Easy peasy, lemon squeezy, that one. Number eight. His whole life was a million to one shot.
No idea.
It's a million to one shot.
His whole life was a million to one shot. You're going to go, once you hear it. Number nine, they're young, they're in love, and they kill people.
Young and in love, and they kill people.
Very, very famous film. Come on, Quizzer. You should be good at this. You should be right up your street on the Wednesday night at the Dog and Duck.
Not these bloody things.
I don't think you're that.
That was a bit of a generalisation, wasn't it? Not these things.
Number 10. Don't get mad. Get everything.
Yes.
Excuse me.
Oh, bless you. Bless you.
Can you repeat that, please, that one?
Number 10. Don't get mad. Get everything. Which was said by someone we've talked about today's first wife. Just throwing that one in. First wife. Number 11 makes Ben Hur look epic.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Loney, absolutely one for you here.
Okay.
Just think of your husband. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll hurl.
What?
Loney, I know this as well.
Years ago. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll hurl.
Oh, okay, I think I know now.
Number 13. I love this one. Everyone has one special thing.
Was that 13?
13. Everyone has one special thing. Number 14. You don't get 500 million friends without making a few enemies. Number 15. This is the weekend they didn't go and play golf. Number 16. Why so serious?
I don't know any of these.
I'm struggling.
Well, good. Then you're not going to win for once.
You're talking to me?
No, I'm sorry. Number 17. Who are you going to call?
17. What was 16? Sorry.
Why so serious? Why so serious? Number 18. Very good for the time of year that we're running into. 40 stories, 12 terrorists, one cop.
I wonder what you're going to say then.
Ooh, I think I need to turn the fucking thing on properly. Number 19. 12 is the new 11. A fucking terrible film. And number 20, quite a hard one, but it is one of my favourite films of all time, so that should give you a clue. Not that it matters, but most of this is true.
Not that it matters.
No idea.
No.
Favourite film?
One of the great buddy films of all time.
Oh.
Well, you don't like Ferris Bueller.
I certainly don't. That was an option when I did the quiz, and I thought...
I don't like that, yeah.
I'm not fucking doing that film. So there you go. There's my quiz. And what are your early predictions? Are the pollsters going to do badly on this one?
I reckon I've about 7 or 8.
Oh, that's low for you. Pollsters are taking a hit.
I don't know. Like, it could go one way or another.
That sounds like another tagline, couldn't it?
Yeah, this could go one way or another. Right, here we go. Here's the answer, podcast people. Number one, the longer you wait, the harder it gets.
Don't know.
No.
The 40-year-old virgin.
Nope.
Number two, in space, no one hears you scream.
Alien.
Correct. Number three, Houston, we have a problem.
Is that Apollo 13?
It is.
Yes.
Well done. Number four, just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water.
Jaws.
Jaws 2.
Jaws 2.
Correct.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I got that right.
Oh, she's a liar, isn't she?
And you've only just realised. You're only a year late.
I got that, totally.
I've so got that. Five, part man, part machine, all cop.
Robocop.
Yes. Six, check in, relax, take a shower.
Psycho.
No. Oh, well done.
Oh, okay.
Well done, Andrew.
Well done, Andrew.
Seven, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Star Wars.
Nine, his whole life was a million to one shot.
Million Dollar Man.
No idea.
Rocky.
It's not $6 Million Man. Rocky, well done. Steve Austin, the movie.
The Million Dollar Man.
Charlie went, first Steve Austin when he had his bionic hand. Gripping arm. Slightly worried about that one.
Oh dear.
Number nine. They're young, they're in love, and they kill people.
Bonnie and Clyde.
Very good, Lona.
Oh, well done.
Oh, that is good. I had
natural born killers.
Oh, well, yeah, very similar.
That's
film.
Good shout.
Yeah, yeah, that's good shout, but
wrong.
But wrong. But
oh, you're right.
You said really magnanimously. Number 10. Don't get mad, get everything.
First Wife Club.
Very good, Lona Waite.
Oh, well done.
I'm on a roll.
Said by the ex Mrs. Trump.
Oh, really?
It was, I believe. Number 11. Makes Ben Hur look epic.
Gladiator.
No, well, that's what I put, but I don't think it
is. I didn't get anything.
Life of Brian.
Oh.
Life of Brian.
Alone Awake, one for you here. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll hurl.
I'm really hoping it's Wayne's World.
It is Wayne's World.
Oh, the memory. He doesn't talk about it often.
No, he doesn't ever. He'll get all upset when he hears that. But.
I know.
13. Everyone has one special thing.
Famous five.
Oh, Boogie Nights.
Not the Fantastic Five, sorry. Or the...
We've said it.
He hasn't listened, has he? He's just said the answer.
Everyone has answer? One special thing. Boogie Nights.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
And he's 17-inch wagger. You don't get 500 million friends without making a few enemies.
It's just the social network.
It is the social network. Ooh. Well done.
Nope.
15. And you and I will relate to this, Adrian, seeing as we've been up there and gone past the love scene. This is the weekend they didn't play golf.
Well, it's only because you've now said it that I know what it is, but I didn't know otherwise. It's Deliverance.
I put the Hangover.
We did a trip down the Chattooga River when we were out in America years ago, and the tour guide pointed up in the woods and he said, because everyone knew it's the river that they filmed Deliverance on, and he said that about there. He said that's where they filmed the love scene. Everyone's like, oh no. And anyone, I'll give an extra point for anyone who could do a really good squealing pig impression.
That's actually quite good.
I mean, that's actually quite a talent you've got there, isn't it?
I was just standing. Times were tough in the late 70s, so I was able to make a bit of money. Number 60, why so serious?
Batman.
I've got Joker.
Dark Knight. Yeah, Dark Knight. Joker. The Dark Knight, I'll give you that. Yeah, Batman, I'll give you that. 17, who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters.
Correct. 40 stories, 12 terrorists, one cop.
Die Hard.
Is it a Christmas film?
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I mean, it should. It's always played at Christmas, but it's... Oh, yeah, because they're at their Christmas party. Yeah.
I think it is.
Out in the middle of summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of 19. People say it's not a Christmas film. It's a film that just happens to take place during Christmas.
Correct. Mm-hmm. I don't really care. I think it's a great film.
Oh, it's a brilliant film.
Number 19. This is not a great film. This is a fucking shocker. 12 is the new 11.
Is that Ocean's 12?
Ocean's 11.
13.
Well, Ocean's 12.
Ocean's 12,
yeah.
I've put.
Yeah.
Ocean's 12, yeah.
Yeah. I think the 12 is the new 11 was the clue, was it?
No, it's a bit of a clue. Clue was in the title, 12, not 11. That's what I said. All right, she's jet-lagged.
I'm jet-lagged, I'm tired.
She's jet-lagged. Right. 20. Not that it matters, but most of it is true.
Is this... It's not Butch Cassidy, is it? And the Sundance
it's
Kid?
Butch Cassidy and the Sundance
Kid.
Oh,
that's good. That's well worked out. That's well
great
worked out.
Great film. Right up there in my top films of all time. So that's 20. Hmm. So how'd you go?
11.
11.
11?
Oh, no, really?
Yeah.
Gosh, how exciting.
We all tied.
It's exciting, isn't it?
Yes. And it's way too late for me to Google another one. So basically, in today's 2024 world, everyone's a winner.
Everyone's a winner.
Excellent. Everyone gets a medal. Everyone gets a medal. Well done.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay.
Fantastic. Well done, people.
So I'm just going to do a quick break here. Although, Alex, you don't have to do a break. You can just go into the next bit when we decide to go into the next bit, if you know what I mean. We don't have to bother with any music. So... okay, what are we going to do now, Stuart? That was a very good quiz, by the way. I very much enjoyed
Thank
that.
Thank you. I hope you enjoyed it at home as well. I hope you've got quite a lot of them right. And if you've got more than 12, you're in your own way a special winner. Right, we're going to finish today. A list came out today of the top 10 bald people. So
what was the judging criteria? Do you know?
Basically, handsome. If you're bald, you've got a chance of being in it.
Right.
Top 10 baldies. And I know most of them.
Okay. So can we have the odd guess here and there before
okay,
you...
Okay, number 10.
I can think of two.
Actor.
Stanley Tucci?
I think you'd be better off by just guessing.
I think we should just do it like one of these ideas boards where we just throw out names.
Patrick Stewart from the USS Enterprise is not on it. Oh. I thought he might be.
Jason Statham.
Statham is apparently has too much hair.
Oh.
You've got to be properly bald.
Jeff Bezos?
No.
Actor.
Stanley Tucci.
He is number 9, correct. Well
Stands
done,
on there, is he? Okay.
I can't think of anybody that's bald.
The referee, that Italian referee that looked like a spaceship.
Oh, Calicia, whatever.
Colina.
No, he's not here.
Pierluigi Colina.
Yeah, he's not there either.
Bruce Willis.
No. No. He probably felt sorry for him.
Right, you need to name a couple.
Okay. Extraordinarily good footballer, played for Arsenal.
Thierry Henry?
Alan Hansen? Not Hansen, what's his name?
Liam Brady.
What's the...
Shearer, you mean?
Alan Shearer, that's the one.
No. Number 2, wrestler.
Sorry, what was the Arsenal player?
Thierry Henry.
Oh, it was Thierry Henry, okay.
Yeah. I thought he'd have been higher because he's a good-looking boy.
Well, I'm not entirely convinced he's bald. I think he just shaves his head.
Yeah. Well, he's on there. He managed to make it to number 8, but he's probably on the list he doesn't really want to be on. Number 6, I'm going to give you, because no one's ever going to get it, and how he's made the list, Danny DeVito.
Really? Is he bald?
Totally bald.
Yeah.
Well, you've got a bit of hair.
He's not been in anything for years either, has he?
No, but obviously he's just a regular.
Okay, give us a clue then.
Number 7, possibly the highest grossing actor of all time in all across his films. He's in every film franchise you could possibly imagine.
Oh, The Rock.
He's actually number 2.
Oh, right. Okay. What's
he's
his real name again?
But Dwayne. Number 7. Dwayne. He's officially.
Dwayne Johnson.
Number 2, yeah. Officially, this person is the highest grossing actor or actress of all time. If you think of all the huge franchises, I think he's been in all of them.
So, bloody hell, was he in the Harry Potter franchises? No.
No, because he wasn't. He's American.
Oh, he's American. Okay.
Wasn't allowed to be in Harry Potter.
Nicolas Cage, no. I don't know.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Very good, Loney.
Oh, really?
Samuel L. Jackson. He is number 7. Number 4 is a professional surfer. Good-looking dude. Went out with Pamela Anderson.
I don't know any professional surfers.
Don't know any surfers.
Well, surfer numerous times. Kelly Slater.
Nope, never heard of
him. Oh, yeah, I've heard of him.
Good-looking honcho. He is good-looking boy.
Yeah, stop moving your thing around because your microphone cuts out when you talk with the book in front of you. He's like
number
a child.
He's a fucking travesty. Was a good-looking boy when he was younger, and now he's just a baldy. Loner, who might that be? One of your mob.
My mob.
It was one of those people you waste your life by going up to London to visit.
Going up to London to visit? So Bobby Charlton. No, he's dead, isn't he?
He doesn't have a job being on the list anymore. Good-looking lad when he was younger. Now he's just a baldy.
I've got no idea.
It's come late on for you. Prince William.
Oh.
HRH.
He's got a fair bit of hair around the sides, hasn't he?
He's very, very spammy.
Yeah.
I know. He's lovely.
He's sort of, he's sort of going through it, isn't he, at the moment? You do feel quite sorry for him.
I do, yes.
You know. And the fact that he's actually really bald as well is just not helping him.
I wonder if there's something going on.
Anivers horribilis or whatever it is.
Yeah, I don't know if the king's that well.
It must be hard. I mean, obviously his dad's had cancer, his wife's had cancer, his brother's buggered off to America with
his
a nutcase.
Yeah. I don't think he particularly likes what he has to do.
No.
Either.
No.
Wouldn't it be great if Donald sent Harry and Meghan packing?
Oh, that would be...
Donald, do one decent thing, please. Yeah. This is your chance to step up to the plate, Donald.
Yeah. Come I mean, on. he can't send Meghan packing.
Daily Mail reader in the country down.
Anyone who else is on that list then?
There was somebody else, a couple of people from America who I've never ever heard of. A couple of people. Vin Diesel's
on it. I can't believe that.
He's number 10. Now, how can Vin Diesel?
I suppose he's in the Fast
DeVito
and the Furious films, isn't he?
Yeah. So he's there.
Danny Tucci.
Exactly. Some bloke called Terry Crews. I think is he the bloke on FBI?
No idea.
I don't know.
He's the
Duncan Goodhue on it.
The swimmer.
Is he still alive, Duncan Goodhue?
Oh, yeah, he's still with us, definitely.
Are you sure? Yeah. He hasn't gone the same way as Bobby Charlton?
No, number
three, which is a bit of a shock, Shaquille O'Neal. Shaq.
Oh, I see, right, yeah. I suppose. Thing is,
I saw his documentary the other day. He's an enormous man.
Yeah. And he's massive. Well, not. I mean, he's a huge star, isn't he? It's just that. That American basketball is just not as big over here as it is over there, but it's massive, isn't it?
Mm. Oh, he's absolute god over there, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's an absolute god. So that's all I have to offer.
So that's So we're going to knock on the head now. We're going to send this over to poor Alex, who's suddenly got to somehow turn it into a podcast. Good luck, Alex.
Good luck, Alex.
Yeah, and
you'll be fine.
And we've got another one of these. We're going to do in 10 days. So the next. It's been about 17 days since the last one, and we've had to, readjust everything because of Stuart going to South Africa. But the next one is about 9 days' time, I think. So,
buses.
Hopefully, the next one will be a bit smoother, and so there we go. And hopefully, this will sound great when it comes out. So, you'll know because the only reason why you're listening to it is because it has come out. I'm talking
in
the future.
Great.
But they are listening in the present, aren't they, of course? So,
absolutely.
Yeah, so we'll see you in less than two weeks' time. Yeah, okay. See you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Take care.
HomerPot's Happy Hour was recorded in the United Kingdom and is fully owned by Stewhead Publishing Limited, whose owner is an absolute bellend.